This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is by Dr. Richard Pratt, president of Third Millennium Ministries. This message is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and is titled, The Journey of Life. Now here's Richard with today's message.
I'm really glad to see you this morning. It's good to be here. I only live about 2 miles away from here. You might wonder, why don't I come more often? Well, I'm pastoring a church up in Memphis. Yes, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm just glad it's not Memphis, Egypt, okay? But I really am glad to be with you this morning. If you have a Bible, you'll want to turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I'd use the podium, but my eyes are too old. It's way down there. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we turn now to you, having heard this part of the scriptures. We turn to you because we don't just need words on a page. We need you. We need you to send your Holy Spirit to us. May Holy Spirit come into this room and touch each of us, that we may hear you speak and see the truth that you would have us see. And Lord Jesus, may Holy Spirit soften our hearts, that we may love you more dearly because of your word, and because we need so much to serve you, will he empower us to do that too. Grant us this grace now, Lord, and we pledge to you the praise for it. We pledge to you the glory for it. Amen. When people describe living, I mean what you're doing right now, They talk about it in lots of different ways. I mean, we will pick different models or different metaphors or different images for it. Sometimes they're very positive. Life is one big party, we say. And you know what that means? Maybe. Doesn't turn out to be that way very often, does it? But very often what we'll do is sort of take negative metaphors or negative images. We'll speak of life as a roller coaster where all these great ups and downs, and sometimes we'll call it a rat race. Other times we'll just call it a flat-out struggle. Life is a struggle. Like it's a wrestling match from the day you wake up in the morning and time you go to bed at night, you just feel like you've just struggled the whole day. There are lots of different ways you can talk about this thing we do called living as human beings, but the one that's probably appropriate for us today in light of the passage we just read is to think of life as a journey. Yes, even the life of a Christian. And we all know that life is a journey in many ways. It begins when we're born and we go on until we die, and we can think of that as sort of a trip. Well, we just read a passage that talks about a man who was going to go on a trip. His name was Abraham. And Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. He's the father of Israel. And he's also the spiritual father of everyone who's a follower of Christ. And God had called him on a journey. And because he's the great father of us all, this journey is not just his own personal experience. It also speaks to our experience of living this thing we call life. And there are a number of things that we can see from these first chapters in Genesis chapter 12 that reveal to us the nature of living this thing we call the journey of life. And the first thing I want us to remember is what we read right there in verse 1, that the Lord has said to Abram, get up and go, leave your family, leave all your possessions, and follow me to the land that I will show you. It's really fascinating to think about that for a moment. God says to Abram, get up and go, but I'm not going to tell you where I'm taking you. He says, just get up and go because I have told you to start this journey, start going the way I direct you, and eventually when you get there, I'll say to you, you're here. And that, in fact, is what happens later on in this chapter, around verse 6 or 7, where God says, okay, you've arrived. You're in the land of Canaan. This is the place. And Abram's really glad to have that happen. But before that time, Abram is being asked to go on this trip, go on this journey, without much of an idea of exactly where he's going. In fact, he went with his father, and his father only went part of the way. And I'm sure that at that moment, that was a crisis for Abram too, because he now still had to continue on going the way that God would show him to go. And we can tell at the very heart of this thing called journey, this thing called the journey of life, is that it requires a lot of trust. It requires a lot of trust. If I were to drive out here in my car, open the door as you're coming out this morning, I said, come on, get in the car. We're going to go on a trip. I know the first thing you'd say to me, if you spoke back to me, you would just say, well, where are you going to go? And if I looked at you in all seriousness and said, oh, that doesn't matter, just come on, get in the car, we're going to go. Well, you tell your children all the time not to get in cars with people like that, don't you? And you wouldn't get in the car either. And I can tell you why. You don't trust me that much. And I don't blame you. Because I'm not that trustworthy. Don't you dare get in a car with me not knowing where you're going. But in many ways, that's exactly what life is. It's taking a trip, it's taking a journey, and not knowing where you're going. And to do that, you have to put your trust in certain things. Now, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Christ, you know the kinds of things you're trusting. You're trusting in your ability to work and to make money. You're trusting in your education. You're trusting in your mental ability and your emotional stability, that this is something that can get you through this thing called life, because as much as we might like to know the future, we don't. We don't know what twists and turns are coming. We don't know what difficulties we're going to face. But, you know, if you're just smart enough, or if you're just physically well enough, or if you have good relationships, a stable life, then it'd be okay. You can trust those things to get you through this thing called life, can't you? I hope that if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I hope you realize that those things are not trustworthy. We're in a day now when people used to think that their 401ks were secure, that they'd get them through that great, glorious goal of retirement. And lots of people, the age of people in this room, were thinking early retirement. Oh, my investments are going so well. I'll be able to retire by the time I'm 50 years old. I'll be able to enjoy life before I'm too old to enjoy it. And that'll be great. And you thought you had your whole life planned out. Well, how well is it going now? In this room, there are people who have already lost their jobs. Some have lost their homes. And there will be more of that before this is over. The uncertainty of the future, you trust in your money to get you through that, you're in serious trouble. Others trust their physical strength. You know, so long as I have my health, everything's fine. And it doesn't take long for a person to realize physical health is not trustworthy either. Or relationships. The best plans. But to make it through life, you have to trust something. You have to get in the car and start riding. And what often happens to people is they come to the point where they realize that the things they grew up with, trusting in, thinking this will make it, this will secure me, this will take care of the future, are falling to pieces before their eyes. And it's in that situation that lots of people come to realize what Abraham knew. And that was that the only person who's really trustworthy in all of this is God. That when Jesus says, follow me, you can bank on it. That he knows where you're going, he's got the power, he's got the strength, and you can trust him. So when you see your family fall apart, when you see your job fall apart, when you see your life falling apart, if you can just turn to the one who can be trusted, like Abraham did, then you'll find yourself able to make this journey with some confidence about the future. But the reality is that even if you are a follower of Christ, things happen. We begin to lose sight of where the trust actually lies, where our confidence should be. And we become locked into the things that once appeared empty. We begin to think that they are actually the important things again. You know, to make it through life, what I have to have is a house. To make it through life, I have to have a relationship that's with someone that's permanent, that I can trust completely. Or to make it through life well, I've got to have this possession or that possession or this kind of job or this kind of retirement. It even happens to people who are followers of Jesus. And perhaps now, more than ever before, maybe we, even as Christians, can begin to look at that again and to ask, well, in what are we trusting? I have a friend who's in business, and he said to me one day, he said, preacher, people don't usually call me that, but he was making a point. Preacher, what's good, what's bad for my business is good for yours. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's really true. What's bad in the general business world is good for the business of the church, because what you discover is people, when they lose things that they thought were secure, turn to the important things again. And this church is going to experience that. You're going to experience it among people who are here, who have been here for years, even the leaders of your church. You're going to experience it with new people coming in. They're going to be coming to you looking for something they can trust again. And I have really good news for you. There is one who can be trusted to get you through the entire journey of your life. And that one's name is Jesus. But God did not just call Abram to trust him. Come on, go, and I'll show you when you get there. No, it wasn't just that. He also promised that along the way, and once he got close to the place and once he arrived there, that he would bless him so much that it would be absolutely unbelievable. Do you remember verse 2? I will bless you. I will give you a great nation, he says. I'll turn you into this magnificent empire. I will make your name great. I'll bless you, Abram. And man, that must have sounded really good to Abram, because that's what everybody wants in this world. They want to be part of a huge, long-lasting, worthy cause like an empire. They want to have fame. They want to be known and remembered. Don't you want to be remembered? They want to be blessed by God. And those who are in Christ are told that if they will take the path of the journey of trusting in God, they will receive those kinds of blessings. And we do. We get them poured on us so much that sometimes we even forget how many we have. Last night, I was bored, wasn't feeling well either, so I just sort of sat down in a chair and turned on my computer and sat and for hours watched a live webcam in Gaza. It was up in someone's high-rise apartment looking out over the city. And it was amazing. Just absolutely amazing. All night long, helicopters were flying overhead. You could hear the gunshots. You could see in the horizon the sky lighting up as bombs were blasting, boom, 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 all across the horizon. It was unbelievable. It was maybe 10 miles away from where this camera was. And as I sat there and watched that, I thought to myself, wow, am I a blessed person? Are we blessed people? We have never experienced anything like that here. And here, as I'm doing this, real human beings are facing that kind of horror. And I'm watching it live on the internet. We are a blessed people. But one of the problems that happens when we get lots of blessings in our lives, lots of good things in our lives, is that we begin to have an attitude of entitlement. We get so used to the good things that we begin to think we're entitled to them. I mean, isn't everyone in here entitled to safety? Isn't that your right? Aren't you entitled to food? Isn't that your right? Aren't you entitled to freedoms? Aren't you entitled to own a house? Aren't you entitled to have a secure family? Aren't you entitled to have good children, beautiful children? Aren't you entitled to have a job that will secure your retirement? Aren't you entitled to all of these things? Just like little children think that at Christmas when they receive a gift, they're somehow now entitled to do with it what they want, and you have no right to say anything about it anymore. That's the way we often think about life. The blessings are not gifts anymore. Blessings are entitlements. It's an amazing thing how that happens to us. Abram was promised lots of blessings, and those who are in Jesus have been promised lots of them too. And they will come for us one day. But as we take the journey, we're actually only promised one gift of life to come. One thing that God guarantees he will give us. Now, he usually gives us a whole lot more than that. But one thing that God promises he will forgive us that he will never take away. And I hate to tell you this, but it's not your job. And it's not your spouse. And it's not your health. It's not your money. It's not the things we usually think in terms of. The one thing the New Testament tells Christians that they are entitled to because they are in Jesus is this. Are you ready? The down payment, the deposit guaranteeing our future inheritance, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everything else is icing on the cake. Extras that come and go as God wants them to come and go. The one thing we are guaranteed is the presence of the Holy Spirit ministering in our lives. In fact, we need to realize that the journey of following Jesus requires us to be willing to give up every other blessing except that one. Isn't this exactly what Jesus did on his own journey? I mean, remember, before Jesus came to this planet, he was in heaven, and he was of equal authority and equal power and equal glory to God the Father. And he could have held on to that had he wanted to, but the Father said, no, I have a journey for you to take. And Jesus freely gave up all that wonder, all that splendor. And he came to this planet, not as a rich person, not as a powerful person, but he actually came here willing to become the lowest of the lowest, the doormat of the universe. He did not own a house. He did not have a faithful spouse. He did not have wonderful, beautiful children. He did not have a 401k. Jesus became a servant in this world And it was because he was faithful through all of that, through all that pain, all that suffering, even to the point of suffering on a cross like a common criminal, that God honored him with resurrection from the dead. And now he reigns in heaven over all things until all of his enemies are put under his feet and he returns here in glory. Do you see how the journey goes? The journey goes for those who are willing not to have the extras so that they may receive all the blessings that are coming. And aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to do that? Because had he not, you would still be dead in your sins. And isn't it wonderful that the New Testament tells us, and this is so good, that you and I who are in Jesus, you and I who serve him, you and I who are joined to him, that we have the privilege of going through the same experience as he did. That we have the privilege of being those who continue the sufferings of Christ in this world. Deprivation of things that other people have. It should be no surprise to us that we are not protected from the economic struggles that we're facing and that are sure to get worse. It shouldn't surprise us. This is part of the journey. It's the journey that Abraham experienced. It's the journey that Jesus experienced. And it's the journey that you and I will experience if we are in him. But what a glorious end is coming. You know, a lot of times we get the impression that Abraham was just sort of poor, living there at Ur of the Chaldeans, didn't have anything better to do than sit around listening to God tell him to get up and go somewhere. That's not the way it was. When you take a look at the kinds of possessions Abraham had as he was traveling toward the Promised Land, the number of servants, the number of camels, those kinds of things, Abraham was well-heeled in Ur of the Chaldeans. He had a business going. His daddy was an idol maker. Sell those idols big time. Make lots of money that way. His daddy was connected. Things were going well for them. All Abraham had to do was just stay there and things would continue to go well for him. He was networked. He had security. He was devoted to taking care of his family and becoming wealthier so he could retire early. But do you know what God called him to do? Leave it all behind and go on a journey that put all those things in doubt. And you've been called to that kind of journey too, so that you will trust the only one who can be trusted. Look at it as a gift. If God starts taking away things that you felt were entitlements, look at it as a gift. Because what he's doing is he's opening your eyes to see whom you can trust, what's important, what's valuable in this world. When God called Abram to do this and set before him all these great goals and all these this great vision for his life, he added something that may sound a little bit strange, but this is what he said in verse 3. He said, "Not only am I going to bless you, Abraham, but you are to become a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." If you'll just take this journey, Abram, you're going to become a conduit, a blessing to every family on the planet. The blessing of knowing the true God of heaven and earth. The blessing of knowing sin and salvation. The blessing of being forgiven of sins. The blessing of having resurrection and eternal life. Abram, you're going to be able to be a conduit of blessings to every family of the earth. And aren't we glad Abram was willing to take that on himself? Imagine where you would be today if Abram had simply said, "Nope, I'm not interested. Now, I'm interested in your blessings because I like that. But what I really want is the blessings for me. And if you take care of my nuclear family, that would be good too. What I want out of this thing called religion, God, what I want out of following you is blessings in my life." But what God says to him is, "Yeah, I'm going to give you some blessings, Abram, but they're not just for you. In you will all the families of the earth be blessed." And that should tell us something, especially at a time like this in our nation and in our world, that when God gives you gifts, whether they're gifts of the heart, where you have a confidence that other people don't have, whether they're gifts of money, whether they're gifts of possessions, whatever gift he may be giving you, these gifts are not just for you. They are your opportunity to give them and to share them with others in Jesus' name. So let me ask you this question. You have a house, don't you? Most of you do. Do you use that house as a blessing to other people? Or do you say to yourself, nobody would ever want to come to my house, and excuse yourself? You have a car, don't you? How do you use that car as a blessing to other people? You have a little bit of money, don't you, still? Just a little bit at least. How do you use that money to be a blessing to other people? You have the joy of a family that's relatively secure. How do you use the joy of that for your friends and neighbors and relatives around you? As people come to this church looking for answers to life's questions, this is going to be what is required of you, that you give of yourself to other people, that you are blessed in order to bless. I had a friend that called me a few months ago, and he told me something that had happened. He was just so proud of himself because he had not known about this for nearly a year. But in his socioeconomic environment, the custom is for sons and daughters on their 16th birthday to get a new car, okay? I wish I grew up like that, but it didn't happen to me. But that's what they do, okay? So all the kids, at Christmas time, on their 16th year, they get a new car. And he had bought his daughter a new car. You know how you do it. Put the little bow on it, stick it in the garage. They don't know. They wake up, no presents under the tree. But come to the garage, and there it is. Oh, she went nuts. He said, "No, she's a really responsible girl, and I knew she wouldn't do anything bad with it, but I just assumed that she just used it to go to school and drive around, party, and that kind of thing." And he thought that's what would happen. As far as he knew, that's what was happening. Until about 6 months later, he found out what his 16-year-old daughter had been doing. 3 times a week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, she had been driving after school to a nursing home that was just about a mile away from the high school. And without anyone suggesting it, without even anyone knowing it except the people in the nursing home, she went around the various rooms in the hospital there, and she asked the people what she could get them at the local supermarket or at the local five and dime. And she drove around every afternoon, 3 times a week, getting things for the people in that nursing home, and then getting home in time for supper, and nobody even knew. He said, "I was so proud of her, I just could not stand it. I have to tell people about this." And I said, "You should tell people about this, because that's what every grown-up in your church needs to hear." See, that 16-year-old got it. She understood. That car was not just for her. That car was for someone who could not drive anymore. That blessing to her was to be shared with other people who needed it. And a 16-year-old understood that in ways that most of us do not. The journey of following Jesus, the journey of the Christian life, is a life that is so full of blessings, not just the guarantee of Holy Spirit, but so many other blessings. But these are given to us to share with other people. Are you there yet? Because they're coming. Are you there yet? Because they are out there with those needs. And this is the kind of time when we need to stand up as people on this journey, being a blessing to those who need God's blessing. Sometimes life is a struggle, it's true. Sometimes life is like a roller coaster ride, up and down, up and down, up and down. But I think it's also true, as we can see, that life is like a journey. And if you're going to take this journey, not knowing exactly what's coming next, you got to trust somebody that's worth trusting. You've got to realize that you're not entitled to certain things, only to one thing. And you've got to be people who are willing to take the gifts that God has given to you and to give them to others. And if we will do that, we will see this difficult time not as difficulty and problem. We'll see it as one of the greatest opportunities for the body of Christ that we have ever experienced. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we bless you that you were willing to take that kind of journey. Thank you so much for calling Father Abraham and for giving him the strength to do the same. And we pray that you will write these words in our hearts that we will never be the same. Having looked at Abraham's journey, we will never be the same in our own. Amen.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org, and our phone number is 407-699-8211.